do you do that? Well, I haven't watched Loud. What is that? Yeah, man. Welcome to Law and Order of the Congo. This is the anatomy of a murder. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's episode.
Getting deep into it.
You know what I mean? Last episode, we went over, you know, kind of the life and times of Patrice Lumumba, the birth, childhood, the rise to independence. And that took us 35, 36 years, 36 years. That took us. We took the meteoric rise. And this will take us 6 months. 6 months it will take us.
For all of that work to become unraveled.
Because unraveled, really 2 months, if you really want to be honest about it.
Really 11 days.
11 days.
And then just it's all like trying to piece it back together and make something definitive, but then it just never happens.
He actually had 5 good days.
5? That's not bad, you know?
No, that's all. He had 5 days where he was like, I'm the president. I am the prime minister of the Congo. I'm fucking killing it. I'm having a good time. I'm black. My skin shining. I look 27. I look 27.
I look good. I look good.
I'm 36.
Man. I'm killing it. Yep.
I'm the president of the Congo. We got a lot of mineral resources. It's going to be a fun time. And then
looking forward to the future.
He had 5 days of that.
5 days.
5 days of waking up, listening to the radio. Listening to Prince. I don't. Prince wasn't out at the time, but I imagine he was. Just
listen to the Beatles demos.
No, he probably would listen to. No, what was out? It was 1960. Oh man, my people, Little Richard.
Okay.
He's doing the twist. I think that might be. He's just like listen to people. He's like he's just waking up. That's he got 5 days of that.
And then just. All downhill from
okay,
there.
So Henry, set the background for us real quick.
Okay, so before we get into the unraveling and the murder and all that, I want to start before the independence of the Congo on April 18th of 1959. Patrice Lumumba goes to the Soviet embassy in the Ghanaian capital of Conakry and asks the Soviets if he can make a secret visit to the USSR. And so this is kind of the first opening move he has with Russia. And then I think shortly afterward, Russia will begin a like minor covert support of Patrice Lumumba. However, Patrice isn't like totally sold to the Soviets either, because in late February of 1960, Lumumba goes to meet with the U.S. ambassador in Brussels.
Yeah.
And that ambassador gets the impression that Lumumba, he's kind of flexible. You know, although he might currently being supported economically by the USSR, he seems open to other offers. He's more of a nationalist than anything else. And if we can just make him a better offer, maybe he'll drift toward the West and maybe he'll become a capitalist, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't really give if you read anything about Lumumba, he doesn't really give a fuck at all.
No,
like, he's
man.
Just a nationalist. He's just for Congo. He's just for the Congo. You know what I mean? I always like the Ghanaian capital. Guinea is always, that's a Sekou Toure. He's like the one guy to say non to like being supported by France and like all the Francophile African countries. And then he just becomes a dictator.
It happens, like, man.
It happens so often.
Like, it's easy. Yeah, you just slide
like
right on into it.
Socialist,
you know?
Like, country. Like, it's just like, oh, it kind of gets fucked up.
So then, picking up at our last episode, June 30th of 1960, this is officially Congolese independence, and you've got these elections.
Yeah.
And Belgium, behind the scenes, they're hoping that all these pro-Belgium parties are going to prevail.
Yeah.
They're going to win all these elections, but they don't. The MNC, which is Lumumba's party, it takes 33 out of the 137 seats, which is not a majority, but it is a plurality.
Yeah.
So they have the most, not over 50%, but they have the most out of any one group.
So, and if you don't know what a plurality is, the plurality being, look, if you fucked 4 of the girls in chemistry class, when there are 12 girls in chemistry class, and you fucked 4 girls. John fucked 3. I don't know math. I don't know why I'm trying to do
you
math.
If you fucked 4 of the girls, that's a plurality. If you had fucked 6, if you had fucked 7, that would be a majority out of the 12, right?
I don't know why we're acting like we've ever fucked before. This is a virgin podcast.
I had negative game in chemistry class. There were people I wanted to fuck in chemistry class, but I just my shit wasn't together.
Yeah, you know I mean,
I never, lost points that year. Yeah.
I didn't come near anybody.
just on myself.
Okay, all right. I was trying to avoid saying that. Let's move on.
So the final results of the election, Kasavubu is named president, and Lumumba becomes the Congo's first prime minister at age 35, because they've got a dual system where you have a president and a prime minister. I'm not sure about the intricacies of the Congolese political system. Forgive me, but that's the gist.
Yeah, forgive us, Congo, for not knowing the intricacies of your system, all right?
I'm sorry about it. So upon taking office, Lumumba tells King Baudouin, or as we affectionately referred to him in the last episode, King Boudin. Of Belgium, he says, "We are no longer your monkeys." Uh-huh. So after independence, Congolese army, one of the first issues that Lumumba has to deal with is that they are upset. The Congolese army is upset over like low pay and lack of promotions, because all of the top positions in the armies, all the officers are still Belgian, are still white. And so they start rebelling and mutinying and basically like paying it back to the Congolese. You know,
it's an interesting time when like the Belgian officer, he like writes on the chalkboard, like just trying to get it through everybody's head, like this white dude, and like just being like, but he writes before independence equals after independence, just to say these are the same exact fucking thing, and I want you to get through it. And this is the time when white people thought that they could talk to black people any type of way. This is before niggas start slapping the shit out of white people. And this is before that time, and this is the change in that moment, because niggas start mutinying or whatever. You know what I mean?
It makes me think that whoever wrote that on the chalkboard, was super hammered when they came into work today, and B, like, knew some shit and was like drunk and confident enough to write that shit on the chalkboard. Like, listen, we got plans for the Congo, all right? So before independence, after independence, it's the same shit. We're still gonna fuck you guys up.
Yeah, no, I just think that white man privilege arrogance. That shit. Yeah, that arrogance, like just being like, I don't give a fuck. I've always been in charge. I'm gonna continue to be in charge. But he didn't even know shit. He was a bad officer. That's probably why he's in the Congo.
Yeah, that's why he's not stationed in fucking Singapore.
Belgium has nowhere else. So you gotta
hang on to what you have. Yeah. You know. So the violence continues against the whites, and it's bad. Like, their public humiliation and rapes, basically what white people did to the Congolese are now doing to the white people.
They're doing that, and then, like, the white Belgians are like, yeah, we're going to get in our little shits because, you know what I mean, we're not going to, they don't want, it's their worst fears coming to
life. Yeah.
But small amounts. It's not like a widespread all over the country. But it's relatively small in the context.
Yeah. And so Lumumba, in order to quell the unrest, because he wants stability in his country, he puts his boys in the army, right? Yeah. He names a new army chief of staff, which is Victor Lundulu, and names this guy Joseph Mobutu as his deputy. And Mobutu's going to come up later on. Yeah. But just remember that he was once Lumumba's ally.
It's always your boys.
It's always your boys.
Henry's gonna betray me.
I don't plan on it.
I know you are. I've seen it.
I think you're being paranoid.
Well, you knew that when you met me, so don't complain about it now. Okay, let's move on. That's fair.
So now we're gonna break it down into month by month, because what goes on the rest of the year, next 6 months, very important. So July 10th of 1960, Belgians call in their troops to protect the leftover foreign community, which is illegal according to the independence accords that they themselves signed. Very next day, Moise Tshombe declares independence of Katanga from the Congo. Yeah. And he invites the Belgians to send troops into their capital of Elizabethville. And Katanga is where all the minerals are at, or like most of the copper is at. Most of, I think
copper, I cobalt, uranium, yeah. all of it. 2/3 of the Congo's like money of like uh-huh. the their like exports is in Katanga.
In Katanga. Like, yep. And like, now this guy's just like, we're independent. By the way, Congo or Belgium, if you want to come back inside of Katanga, we're now Katanga, or we're now, I think they're Zaire or something.
No, like. They became Katanga. Like, they're okay. just Katanga. Zaire comes later when Mobutu does this whole thing, which is a funny rule. Just a funny rule, because my man loved leopard hats.
Uh-huh.
And like, just opulence.
Nice, man. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? You
know? Yeah, so he, like, they just become their own little small country, and, like, yep. it's just super suspicious, like, just 11 days. It's only been 11 days.
It's only been 11 days, and you're already, I want to say, gerrymandering the state. Like, okay, you guys can have the Congo. We'll just draw out this mineral-rich section of the Congo.
I don't think it's gerrymandering.
What would you call
it? I call it theft, nigga. I call it stolen.
Okay, fair enough. fair enough.
Yo, we're just going to take the stuff that means the most to you.
Just going to carve that out. That's ours now.
It's like if somebody came to your house and they were like, yo, we're going to take the TV. We're going to take uh-huh. the fucking couch. We're also going to take your bitch. You're uh-huh. female. You're a woman. See?
Right.
See, mm-hmm. I'm toxic.
Here we go. But we will leave you the iPad.
Yeah, like they
got, you can have. No, no, it's no. like, whoa, you got all the big screens. You got all the good shit. What
it's
are you doing?
The broken iPad. It's the broken one that
iPad.
Cracked the screen.
The old
on.
Model. Yeah. The iPad. You know that one.
Not even mm-hmm. compatible yep. with the rest of Apple anymore.
They now you have to buy new chargers and shit. Yeah. Like, nope, you don't have those anymore.
Exactly.
You got rid of them because you updated. But what are you gonna do? So the next day after Shombe declares independence, Lumumba and Kasavubu, they ask for UN intervention, and they say that they want troops from neutral countries because they don't really trust the UN. They're like, we don't trust who you're going to send. You could send in Belgian troops with UN hats,
yeah.
and they're not going to do shit for us. So please, neutral countries only. And yeah. Lumumba says, if you don't do this by July 19th, a week from the announcement, he's going to go to the Soviet Union and the non-aligned movement for help. And instantly, this puts him on the CIA's radar. The U.S. says that they are afraid of another Cuba because, you know, Castro's been in power for a little bit now. Yeah. And they're recognized, like, domino theory is effectively coming true. And that's their biggest fear.
But it's just kind of bullshit because, like, he went to you guys for help.
Yeah.
You won't help.
No.
You won't do anything, so he's obviously going to go to the other people and be like,
to whoever's going to help him out. Like, he's going to explore any options he can in order to stay in power and keep control of the nation. There was, like, the prior arrangement with the Soviet Union, but again, going back to that February 1960 meeting with the U.S. diplomat who's like, no, this is an opportunist. This is a politician,
yeah,
for fuck's sake. He's going to take the best offer.
If you go back and to listen to the last episode, part one, where we go over like his upbringing and kind of his like political and economic ideology, he is not a fucking socialist. He is not a communist. He's really just a nationalist, and he's really like for maintaining a lot of the status quo with like a just a little bit more of the money coming to the Congo.
He That's seems effectively like an elitist for the most part. You know?
For the most part, yeah. Like, so it's just very interesting and I don't believe that the CIA couldn't see that. The CIA has niggas who read books. Do you know they had his book? Like, they had his book, so I don't understand how they didn't fucking just go, he's probably just not the worst.
That's the weird thing, is the preferred strategy is to kill him. And then it's like, whoa, why are they becoming more and more radical and drifting further and further toward the left after I tried to assassinate them? Like, you think they would get the message? I don't get it.
It's cozy up to the guy who tried to kill me?
Like,
poison my toothpaste?
That's a thing. So the next day, July 13th, Soviet delegate to the UN Security Council is instructed by Khrushchev to vote in favor of UN intervention in the Congo. And Khrushchev is kind of telling Lumumba and Kasavubu, who's like, hey, we sympathize with you guys. We know what it's like to deal with these bullshit imperialists.
Yeah.
But then Lumumba and Kasavubu learn that those UN forces are not to be deployed to Katanga.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the separatist province that is causing all of these problems, who has invited Belgian troops into it. Why the fuck aren't you sending them there? That's what's going to solve the problem.
It's a weird thing where, like, now reading it in like the past, like reading it in the future, you're sitting here the whole time like, nigga, they're not your friend. And he keeps going, he keeps trusting these white people, and that's gonna get you like, he keeps trying to
that'll
go
get
to the
killed.
And that's also because he's also taking advice from Kwame Nkrumah, the leader of Ghana, and he's telling them like, yo, go through the system. And the letters between Patrice and Kwame at this time are hilarious, because Patrice realizes that later, he goes like, yo, they're not going to help me. And Kwame keeps telling him to go through the system. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing with Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala, that Che tells him, like, arm up your people now. The system's not going to help you.
Yeah.
But Jacobo decides, like, no, I don't want to cause a civil war. And then that's what's happened. Anyway, but I also get that, like, holding on to your legitimacy sometimes means exploring the channels that are already available, or the established channels, because then you seem more amenable. But this is not the case
for Doug. Yeah, no, they you're worth a lot. This there's money on the line.
Your nation's worth a lot, and you're standing in the way of profit. And it's never a safe place to be.
No.
So the same day, the UN Secretary General, this Swedish guy named Dag Hammarskjöld with a J right in the middle of his fucking name, where it doesn't need
belong.
To be.
Doesn't help us out.
Just confuses people.
Yeah,
right?
No point of that.
And his family, they've got ties to the Belgian royal family.
Yeah.
But he organizes a UN force of like 4,000 to 5,000 guys, mostly from African countries.
Yeah.
So then on July 22nd, Alan Dulles says at a National Security Council meeting that Lumumba is, quote, a Castro or worse. It is safe to go on the assumption that Lumumba has been bought by the communists. And I feel like we already talked about this before. He turned to the West and he turned to the UN.
He's asking everybody.
he just needs help.
They have his books. They're not dumb. They understand who he really is.
Yeah.
They're the reason why they're ignoring it.
There's a whole Dulles is being real shady, but what else have we learned to expect from Alan Dulles, right?
Because we're going to get to this later, because even the slightest amount of dignity or respect or like a fair agreement was not even, they didn't even want that on the table.
No,
like even the slightest one.
All or nothing. Yeah. And we can shop around for all if you're willing to give us nothing. Day after that, on the 23rd, Lumumba flies to the U.S. because he wants to meet with top officials in Washington. And on the 29th, he's able to meet with Secretary of State Christian Herter and this guy, the Deputy Secretary of State, C. Douglas Dillon.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back in later. And he even goes to the UN and he talks with Hammarskjöld and the Soviet diplomat. And he's basically shopping around again, trying to get peace for his country, no matter who's going to give it to him. Right.
Yeah.
And then there's this other story that, like, while he's in D.C., the State Department's expert on the Congo, this guy Thomas Cassilly, reports that Lumumba asked him to provide a female companion for him, specifically a blonde white woman.
Yeah.
And this request is passed on to the CIA, who obliges him.
Here's the thing about that.
Makes it happen.
I've read that before, and like, I can believe it. Nigga, like, you've been to America a couple times. Like, I mean, look, I'm the leader of a country now. I deserve to fuck sometimes. Mm-hmm. I get that. No, I get that. It could also be white lies.
It could also be slander.
Could also
That's
be those white lies.
It came from the State Department.
Yeah, no, they.
But he also implicates the CIA. So maybe it's like
it could be. It could,
who knows?
You know, you never know.
Yeah. So August 1st, we're in August now. USSR, they released a statement saying that the UN must order troops into Katanga. Like, stop fucking playing. Yeah. Get them in the problematic province. Yeah. Or we're going to step into the Congo. We're going to put troops in there. Yeah. And Khrushchev claims that the aggressors, Katanga, were acting with the support of NATO. And effectively, he's like, the UN is just NATO on a global scale, right? Yeah. It's going to take time to move the UN, to make it a truly global body. I don't even know if you can argue it's a global body now, but they are kind of calling us out on our bullshit. But
there's a thing about like the UN and kind of all these global regulatory laws, like when you talk about who's been prosecuted by all the global prosecution, it's like mostly just people from Africa.
Yeah,
like it's never us.
Even though we're doing the same shit that we're accusing them of doing. But
Congo did a lot of rapes and murder. Like not the you know mean? Like that true. Whole like also Congo.
It's not unwarranted. Yeah.
Second African war, like all that shit in like the '90s. Very fucked up shit. But we have bombed some weddings.
Yeah, like, killed some kids. Plenty of skeletons in our closet. Biological warfare that we've seen in Cuba. We talked about that on the Castro episodes. Like it's all
We got
there's plenty of prosecutable offenses.
Nobody
gets
prosecuted here, baby.
Torture
regime.
There we go. So next day, Hammarskjöld says that he's like, "All right, I hear you guys. UN forces are going to hit Katanga August 6th. You have my word." On the 5th. Khrushchev sends a letter to Lumumba, not Kasavubu.
Yeah.
So now they're playing favorites. And he says, we have your back. We don't really give a fuck about Kasavubu. We're behind you. We know what it's like to deal with these bullshit imperialists. You know, if you need anything, let us know. So the next day, the 6th, troops do not enter Katanga. And Nkrumah asks the Soviet Chargé d'Affaires if Ghana could have Soviet support in the event of a broader war, because they kind of sense where things are headed.
And look, I fuck with Kwame Nkrumah, but like, just asking is not doing. You know what I mean?
That's also true.
There's a lot of times that the Ghanaian forces in the Congo can act to help Patrice Lumumba out, to kind of throw their weight behind him. They don't, and it's supposed to be that way because we've been talking this Pan African shit for about 10 years now.
For a long time,
not 10 years, but like but what, three it, or four years easy. Now.
Yeah,
and it's not when it's time to do it, it wasn't done.
You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? So August 9th, USSR and Ceylon issue a joint resolution in the UN calling for a withdrawal from the Belgian forces in the Congo. Your interests are too vested in, like, literally invested in the Congo. You're not an objective party. You need to get the fuck out. The UN needs to stabilize the situation. And, like, Khrushchev, he wants the UN to put the rebellion down in Katanga, but he's also pretty skeptical that he's like, this is not going to happen, not if Dag Hammarskjöld has anything to say about it.
Yeah.
So on the 26th, Alan Dulles says to the CIA chief in the Congo, who's this guy Lawrence Devlin, and they have their headquarters at Leopoldville, quote, that Lumumba's removal must be an urgent and prime objective. And he's doing so with Eisenhower's support. Eisenhower said on the 18th that they should try to kill both Lumumba and Castro. And so late in August, Khrushchev starts supplying Lumumba with foodstuffs and arms via Conakry because they're gearing up for the war that they know is coming.
And Devlin, like the CIA like station chief in Leopoldville or in the Congo, he specifically has in his like writings about it, he has like a small like Congolese person, I think it was a child or just a regular Congolese person at the airport, counting the Soviet troops by five that are getting off the planes, anybody in a Soviet uniform. And it's like 1,000. It's like, it's a lot, but you know what I mean? But they're not coming with a fucking army. You know what I mean? They're just advisors.
No. I mean, 1,000 is a lot relatively in that it's like four digits, but it's also not like the full weight that they could have sent.
It's the least of the four digits.
You know yeah, I mean? Yeah, it's like barely qualifies as right over the threshold.
I mean, and those people are like backing up all of the ministries of the Congo, so everything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But it's also like not that Khrushchev was in any way silent on this issue. Yeah, like this is overlapping with the time that Khrushchev is in New York for the UN meeting, and primarily what he's talking about while he's there is like, yo, what's going on in the Congo right it's now is up. Bullshit. Fucked like. Up. Dag Hammarskjöld, you should resign over this because you're not impartial to what's going on.
And you know who's silent on the most pettiest shit? You know who's real silent on the most pettiest shit? China.
Is it Mao?
Mao. Just silent because they offered their help and you went with Russia.
Uh huh.
You don't get China's help. China doesn't say anything. China says shit later once you're killed. But what you
said, if he would have taken our aid, sounds like China doesn't actually believe in the continual revolution, because if they did, they'd be able to turn aside their petty international beefs with other nations and support any country that was willing to aid itself against these fucking bullshit imperialists, hey man, right?
Don't talk shit on the chairman, okay?
All right. Don't. I'm ready for the hate mail, man. Fucking at me. I don't care. Do it.
You're about to get clapped by a Maoist.
I'm ready. If I got to go some way, that's fine. Early September of 1960. We're in September now. Hammarskjöld says to the U.S., he says that Lumumba must be broken. So on the 5th, both Kasavubu and Lumumba take to the radio channels, and they basically both fire each other, which is
it's just Jesus Christ, guys. Like.
Lumumba is like, Kasavubu is no longer president, and Kasavubu was like, Lumumba is no longer prime minister. So it's like, okay, who's right though? You know,
it must have been so confusing for people just like sitting down, like eating, like. Okay, now which one? I think they probably believed Lumumba, because from what I hear, like everybody loved Lumumba's voice. Yeah. They loved how he talked. He's a very, very eloquent motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But I think maybe the constitutional precedent was with Kasavubu, because like Parliament votes on the 9th to annul the firing of Lumumba. So I guess like the presidential firing of the prime minister took precedent, but they've got that check in place to where Parliament can be like, we disagree with what the president did. Lumumba stays as prime minister. And so you've got this real awkward tension where they're both like still in the positions that they're both were in before, after they tried to fire each other. So it's like,
I'm just really confused that you now know the intricacies of the Congolese government, when just before we talked about not knowing the fucking intricacies of the Congolese. Do you know the intricacies of the Congolese government, of the Congolese style of government?
I don't pretend to. There's probably more to it that I'm missing.
Okay.
But it's always better, you know, you gotta undersell yourself at all. Undersell, underpromise, and then overdeliver. Right?
You sound like somebody who's not getting bought. That's what you sound like.
So they do a cabinet reshuffling on the 14th. I don't know if it comes to much. Same day as that cabinet reshuffling, Joseph Désiré Mobutu, which is Lumumba's former secretary and like the deputy chief of staff, who Lumumba promoted, launches a coup against Lumumba, and this is encouraged and backed by the CIA. Like Mobutu is in contact with Lawrence Devlin.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I don't care who fired who, all politicians are invalid. I am in control now. But it reminds me of what we talked about before of the US supporting an army-backed coup because they're the ones who just like they did in Indonesia. Like this is the MO.
It's just a style of change. You know what I mean? Some people got a certain style. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to wear bright colors. Some people like to wear Adidas. It's like little track suits.
Some people rock a fanny pack.
Yeah. And some people like to stage coups in struggling third world countries. That's us.
Right. By supporting and arming key people within the army. Right. And exploiting. Tensions and
you know what I mean. It's always your boy. It's always your friend. We can talk about Thomas Sankara and Blaise Compaoré, which we have an episode on Thomas Sankara. If you haven't watched that one, like, look, it's always your boy. It's never somebody you don't know.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's never somebody you don't know.
It's you got to be careful, man.
Yeah, you man. That's why I have a gun on Henry at all times. All times.
There's so you can't see him in the shot right now, but there's somebody standing by right around the corner who's I shouldn't have outed them because now I don't know what they're
gonna
do.
Yeah, man, this was good doing the podcast with you. That's all I'm saying. Okay, all right.
So the UN, they shut down the Congolese airports and Leopoldville's radio station.
Yeah.
So Lumumba cannot contact the Soviets and he cannot receive any Soviet aid. But they still got, like, you know, Conakry is kind of acting as that sub-satellite that is willing to act as an intermediary between the Congo and the USSR.
And there's a and this, I think it said during this time, there's a moment where Lumumba with some guys goes to the radio station or goes to one of the radio stations and fucking it is like stopped by Ghanaian troops under the UN banner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he's sitting there like, yo.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Pan-African shit. Pan-African.
What about
shit?
All that that what we all claim that, to believe?
All
about, huh?
All that Pan-African shit, and they're just like they disarm some of his guys, and he's sitting there like, and at the time, Kwame and Nkrumah still sending him letters like, you got to go through the process. It's like, bro, you're supposed to be helping me the fuck out, mm-hmm. and you're fucking, and you didn't do anything.
You're bailing on me. You're bailing right on now, me. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always your friends, and it's always us, or whoever you want to belong to. It's always us.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
So the 16th of September, Lumumba, he recognizes shit is fucked. He's not safe. He delivers himself into UN custody and protection in Leopoldville. And he's like guarded in a mansion. But it's pretty scary because there are two rings. You have the inner ring of UN troops to prevent his arrest. And then an outer ring of Mobutu's soldiers to prevent his escape because he's a very eloquent speaker. He's the populist leader. People still love him. Yeah. He can still, I don't even want to say do damage. He can still rebuild the state, and that's what they're afraid of.
Oh, for sure. He just has to get to Stanleyville because that's where his like component is like the MNCL, the MNC Lumumba.
That's where all his guys are. Yep.
And also I would like to state, because I don't think we mentioned this at the top, there's Katanga. There's this Mobutu thing is going on. This Mobutu kind of takes over. There's also in Kasai, there's Alba Kalonji has like has his own like little separate part that like that's like literally called like the mineral company of Kasai. It's like not even a front. Okay. So like this shit is breaking apart in a fucking crazy way. It's being snatched up and backed by like just money resources.
Yeah. Doesn't Mugabe come in later? Robert Mugabe?
Oh, that's Mugabe, but that's gonna be I'm pretty sure Uganda.
After this?
Yeah, that's gonna be, I'm pretty sure that's in Uganda. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. So on the 26th of September, the CIA guy, Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, who was prior affiliated with the CIA by working on the MK Ultra experiments, nasty guy. I guess a good enough scientist.
Yeah.
He arrives in the Congo with poisons, one of which they want to kill Lumumba by poisoning his toothpaste.
When you read like Devlin write about this, the CIA chief in the Congo, he's like writes about it, talking about like, yeah, I got directives to go to a cafe and meet a guy named Joe from Paris. Yep. And then I meet that guy named Joe from Paris. And he gets in the car and fucking he just shows me all these poisons that he has. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, you're the CIA. Nobody cares. Like it's the CIA is they're a bunch of clowns. I just want to tell you. And I think me and Henry are strong on this because we've been reading about all the shit.
We've been in it.
They've been pulling. I think if you saw the movie Argo. I think we referenced this before. Movie Argo, where they fucking say, hey, we're going to do a sci-fi film to get these goddamn Canadians.
To get these hostages out of Iran.
Yeah, these potential hostages. And get them out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a sci-fi film. And you're like, oh, man, that's cool. It's like a fringe thing that the CIA does. That they have like all these. That's cool. That's like a fringe. That's not what they normally. No, that's what they normally do. They're just, they're crazy.
They're just making shit up, man. They just do whatever. What do you want to do? You guys want to be be movie makers? Yeah. You want to overdose? You want to see if we can overdose somebody with LSD? You want to fucking poison and toothpaste? Man, it's the fucking chocolate factory of bullshit over here at CIA HQ, you know?
Yeah.
And you think about this. What do you think that toothpaste was like? Where it's like four out of five dentists recommend Colgate. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no, sometimes it doesn't work, and that's fine, baby boy. I didn't know where you were going, and I wanted to help you, but I was like, he's going somewhere strong, or he's not gonna go.
I don't know. Four out of five. Doctors, just dentists recommend this toothpaste.
Just get back to the Congo.
You want
to
get killed? They give it to this CIA-hired mercenary named QJ-WIN.
Yeah,
and it's not entirely known who this guy was. Like, I searched his name, and apparently he might have also had something to do with the JFK assassination.
Yeah,
just. QJ-WIN is who they give it to, and he's like in the Congo as well, but he's like a repeat.
QJ-WIN sounds like a cool Asian kid that has Jordans.
Yeah, man, I'm sure there's
Zillow
a
chain.
That's like a League of Legends username right there.
No, dude,
who knows his history, you know? QJ-WIN, like he fucking wins. He comes, he kicks ass. He mains Garen, but you know
he murders people and he leaves.
Yeah, that's what he does, man. Yeah. That's his MO. So in October of 1960, Lumumba, things are kind of stagnant for a little bit. He's at the mansion and he says at a dinner event that he could have made millions if he had been willing to, quote, mortgage the national sovereignty.
That's true. I mean, look, man, they didn't really give a fuck who it was.
No, if he had just, somebody's going to make this money, you know?
If he had just been like less on like the independence talk and more like mm-hmm. kind of just been like, yeah, man, but we're still willing to do everything you want us to do. He could have made millions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of African leaders did. I mean, oh, we're independent.
Mm-hmm.
But France still decides how we spend our money.
Our money. Yeah. They all went for the carrot and Lumumba got the stick.
Yeah.
So early November of 1960, the UN, they recognize a diplomat to the United Nations appointed by Kasavubu. So this effectively means like Lumumba, he's no longer recognized by the UN.
Yeah.
It isn't until the 27th of November that Lumumba escapes from the mansion during a thunderstorm, I think in like a diplomat or an ambassador's car, and he starts heading towards Stanleyville to gather his forces because that's where his largest base of support is. And interestingly...
Oh, no, go ahead.
Interesting. The UN forces, as he's escaping, they're like starting to go on the hunt, but they're ordered to stand down. By who? Who really knows? You know, the West is the large, like, but which who in the West, you know, are they ordered to stand by Belgium or Dag Hammarskjöld or the US or all of them together? But the point is that they're ordered like, no, do not pursue, right?
It's this weird thing where, like, even like he's fleeing with his son and his wife, and he's like fleeing people who are trying to kidnap and probably gonna kill him, and he's just like stopping in villages, giving speeches,
yes,
like a jackass.
Yeah,
your life is on the line, bro.
Uh huh.
Dip, like you gotta
keep going,
dip,
man. You gotta dip. Keep moving.
You gotta move. You gotta go. And it's like. It's weird because I know he had to understand the severity of what was going on around him, but sometimes I don't feel like he did because even
sometimes,
before this, when he was in power, like when he was in power and like he should have been just shooting this, they should have went into Katanga.
Yeah, just armed up civil war, another Vietnam. Let's do it. Fuck it.
Go.
You want to play this game? Yeah. Let's do it.
From the jump, he should be like, go. He's late in that struggle, still like giving speeches, trying to get popular support. And like
amen.
bringing mixed couples on stage and being like, we don't hate white people that are not racist and saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, that's cool, but like, also
that's
you guys start shooting, dog.
But you they're gonna really try to kill you, man. Yeah, hey, really sometimes you gotta get that high five in. You know, sometimes you need that high five. You got that stage time available, you're gonna take it.
No, I can do a high five right now. I can go do stand up. I can go ask to be on the show. But guess what? There's death outside.
There's death outside my doors.
I'm not gonna do that.
I'm not an idiot. Yeah. Goddamn. So you've got kind of like this, it's a manhunt, it's on. You've got CIA forces out there and also Mobutu's forces out there just looking like, we need to kill Lumumba, we need to catch him, and we need to kill them, right? So December 1st of 1960, Lumumba's on the run. He has to cross a river, and they've only got one canoe that they're able to cross in, so they're going to have to take turns. And Lumumba's going out there, but then he realizes that, like, his wife and child has been captured by the forces of this guy, Gilbert Pongo, who's the security chief for Mobutu.
Yeah.
And so Lumumba, once he hears that his wife and kid have been captured, he turns around for them.
Yeah.
And right when he gets there, he starts, like, working his verbal magic, right? And he's, like, winning men over and inspiring them to rebel against Mobutu, that he is the rightful leader of the Congo, and they're about to fucking help him out. They're about to turn coat, basically. But then Pongo shows up, who's the captain, and is like, no, we're not fucking doing that. Take his ass into custody.
In Lumumba, Africa's Lost Leader by Leo Zelig, it's they were getting convinced, and then the commander was like, they were gonna let him go, and then like the commander who I think they were either waiting for somebody, the commander like turns around and is just like, all right, I got some joints, guys. And like they smoke weed, and then really? Other people show up. Yeah, that's like in the book. Like it's like, yo, like they were fucking just like, man, this guy is making the points. And then they're like commander's like, hey guys, I got some fucking reefer. And then they start chilling, smoking weed, and then the other guys show up. like I don't know if that's true, but that's hilarious. That's true.
That's pretty good. You just gotta. You know, what better way to sit around and listen to a lecture about the evils of neo-colonialism? Yeah. I feel like I've had that conversation before, just smoking weed in my drug dealer's apartment and talking about how fucked up the world is. And
it's fucked up out here, dog. Fucked up out here, dog.
That's pretty... It's always how it more? Happens.
You know? Are you going to buy more?
You need it's a sales technique. You know, they convince you to be afraid of the world so they can sell you more remedy. More.
Also, they just want friends, and it's hilarious.
That's also true. I've never, you know, drug dealers have lots of friends, quote-unquote. It's December 2nd of 1960. He's captured. He's taken into Mobutu's custody. He's imprisoned momentarily in Thiesville.
Yeah.
On the 12th of 1960... Antoine Gizenga, who's Lumumba's former deputy prime minister, he declares the Free Republic of the Congo, which is based in Stanleyville, and they begin gaining territory throughout the province, which scares the shit out of Mobutu. And just some, you know, your bros might betray you, but they might also be there for you. You know, it all depends on who's in your orbit. Because here's another one of Lumumba's guys who like was in his government as well, who was like, no. I need to stand up for Lumumba's vision for the Congo in Stanleyville, in his base of support. Antoine, he's one of the real ones, Gizenga, you know?
No, I completely agree. Like, there's the Gizenga, there's a lot of Lumumba, like there's a lot of Lumumba like officials that become like Lumumbaists. That becomes like a title or a party being a Lumumbaist after Lumumba's death. Mm. That's a real part of the Congo, but there with Mobutu specifically, one of his good closest people who fucking there's like when it's been in Lumumba's beer selling days, fucking Mobutu's like riding a bike with like Lumumba. They're like riding a motorcycle, one motorcycle, just together, like through the streets of like Leopoldville. It was his
That's
boy.
Fucked up. That's fucked up. That's fucked up then.
Yeah, no, it's always your boy.
The Free Republic of the Congo, it's recognized by, I think, most of the Eastern Bloc, like a large part of the entire Eastern Bloc, like all the Eastern European countries now, the USSR, China, and Cuba are all like, yes, Free Republic of the Congo is the only legitimate government in the Congo right now. If you support any of the other ones, you're fucking wrong, right?
Yeah.
So wrapping up, or getting close to it, mid-January in 1961, Lumumba starts another mutiny, nearly among Mobutu's soldiers, and escapes briefly before he's like re-imprisoned. And then at this point, it's like, you're too influential. You're you're going to create too many problems for us. So on January 17th of 1961, under the advice of Lawrence Devlin, the CIA guy, Mobutu gives Lumumba up on a Belgian chartered plane and flies him to Katanga into the open jaws of Shombe, yeah, because they know Shombe is going to kill Lumumba, and they do.
I think they just it's so people say who did it. Well, we know who did it. Like, we know. It was the Belgians. They delivered him to the Katanga gets out of the airport. I think they put him in jail for a little bit, and then he took it out of that jail along with two Mpolu and Okitu. It's there's like two kind of also Lumumba's people, and they're taken into the wilderness, shot by firing squad into like a ditch. Mm-hmm. Then their body is hacked into pieces, heads decapitated, body hacked into pieces, and then they are dissolved in sulfuric acid by Belgian officers, particularly Gerard Soete, who is the person who dissolves their body. And I think then after that, they like burn them a little bit, then they crush their bones and scatter it into the countryside. And Gerard Sorote is a particularly chilling, fucking horrible animal, because he still has, like, I think it was in the 90s or the 2000s, he still had Lumumba's like teeth on, or so he was claiming to have Lumumba's teeth on his mantle in fucking Belgium. So
yeah,
fucked. Like, that's fucked. Yeah. That's somebody's fucked granddad, dude. So fucked don't, so up. That's why I don't trust your granddads, bro.
No.
That's why I don't trust white granddads. I mean,
just if you're like, a human being, you do not put another human being's teeth on a fucking
on your mantle,
next to a picture of your own family.
Yeah,
you
know,
like what are you doing, really, though?
Maniac shit. Maniac shit. He was like just a fucked up Belgian police officer. So don't talk to me about the cops.
ACAB, man.
Yeah.
ACAB. So we've got, as far as proving our case, Law and Order, the Congo.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, bow, wow. You've got means.
Yeah.
You've got opportunity. But what about motive?
Yeah.
And so now we're going to talk about the Western business interests in the Congo.
Yeah.
Real quick. First of all, tying it all together, you've got C. Douglas Dillon, the Deputy Secretary of State we mentioned from before. His family's investment bank, which is Dillon, Reed, and Co., handled the Congo's bond issues. I think in particular they gave loans to some construction firm within the Congo, and they're partnered with the Rockefellers. Uh-huh. There's this guy, John van der Meersch, who's the son of the former Belgian foreign minister. He specializes in Congolese affairs with Dillon, Reed, and Co. So you've got this high-up member of like the Belgian government who also works for an American corporation.
Yeah.
You've got Morgan Guarantee Trust, as they were known at the time. You might know them better now as J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
Gave two $20 million loans to the Belgian Congo.
Yeah.
And they brag on their website that they are the first U.S. bank to have an edifice open in Brussels as early as 1919. So they're not even trying to hide it, really.
Yeah.
General Motors had its sole distributorship in the Congo in none other than Katanga, the separatist province. And then Sullivan and Cromwell, who's this New York law firm that the Dulles brothers used to work for, one of their clients is the American Metal Company, a.k.a. AMAX, which is this big mining behemoth with interests in the Congo. And Alan Dulles, he's close to Harold Hochschild, who's the chairman of AMAX. And he's also the U.S. ambassador to Belgium was this guy, William Burden, who is also a company director of AMAX, and AMAX contributed heavily to Dwight Eisenhower's reelection in 1956. Interestingly enough, like Adam Hochschild's son is this guy, Adam Hochschild.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Harold Hochschild's son is Adam Hochschild, who would go on to write this book called King Leopold's Ghost, which is all about the Congo in like the early 20th century and all the fucked up shit that happened, almost like rebelling against his father, but also not entirely because it's based in historical fact.
Yeah.
As far as Belgium is concerned, Brussels and the Belgian government, they want to protect the Union Minière de Haut-Katanga, or UMHK, which is like a mineral monopoly that they had in the Congo.
Yeah.
Hammarskjöld, the UN and Secretary...
I would like to say, particularly for the Union Minière of the Congo, $4 million a year. $4 billion being made a year. And I'm pretty sure that's in like 1960 money. I think that's like $30 million a year today. Like it's for Belgium.
And you're about to lose your only colony. Like you're not.
You got in Belgium they're having fucking they're having their own, like, people are striking in Belgium. Like they're having their own labor struggles. There's a lot of shit going on in Belgium itself also at this time.
Huh. And then tying it into Hammarskjöld, Hammarskjöld and his family is associated with the Liberian American Swedish Minerals Company, or LAMCO. And this is like a conglomerate of mining companies who varyingly have interests in the Congo, right? Yeah. So you've got Sweden, you've got Belgium, and you've got America, who all want this same guy dead.
Yeah.
Lastly, you've got Devlin, Lawrence Devlin himself, almost like the most incriminating. He would leave the CIA in 1974 to pursue a career in the diamond industry in none other than the Congo, because his contact is this guy, Maurice Templesman, who is chairman of this company, Lazare Kaplan International. And Templesman he was born in Belgium.
Yeah.
And then immigrated to America.
Yeah.
And as far back as like the 1950s, advocated that the U.S. buy up diamonds and had contact with like JFK and later administration. So it's not just Ike. It's a both sides thing. But like, as far as assassinating Lumumba, you've got the inauguration of JFK scheduled for January 20th.
Yeah.
And you don't know what his policy toward the CIA is going to be once he learns about all this fucked up shit.
Yeah.
You've got to act fast. Yeah. You know?
It's a lot. Everybody wanted him dead. And also, to top that off, we gotta reiterate, which we talked about, I think we touched on in the first episode a little bit. A lot of the uranium that the Americans like build their bombs with, the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, came from the Congo.
Yeah.
The Americans have a relationship where they're buying the uranium from the Belgians. I don't need, if I'm the CIA or Americans, I don't need a guy who now can think for himself.
Not at all.
Comes to the uranium. So it was on top of all those business interests.
Yeah. Uranium.
Then there's a uranium game being played with nuclear weapons. There's this whole during the Cold War.
Yeah.
During the height of the Cold War.
Yeah. And the missile gap that's being spun in like the late 1950s, early 1960s of like, we don't have enough bombs. Russia has more bombs than us, which is questionable. But if enough of the public believes that, and the government starts to believe that like, all right, where can we get more uranium? Oh, it's in the Congo.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a whole bunch of other interests in the Congo. Oh, there's this guy standing in the way of our diamonds and our copper and our cobalt and our uranium.
Yeah. It's just fucked because you want to think that he knew that. You want to think he didn't. Like, it just was like, it feels like when you list all these and then you list the uranium on top of it, it just feels like he had no chance. Like they were never gonna let anybody who had any mind of his own.
Yeah,
like
they were looking for a stooge.
Yeah,
and independence was—I don't want to say nominal, but it was like there was the understanding that all right. But you said in the first episode that we'll grant you independence in order to catch you off guard.
That was the point of them granting all the independence. You gotta think about this in terms of lineal, in terms of like the global kind of, not global, but about world events or global events. you have what happens in Vietnam in from 1946 throughout the 50s into the 50s with Dinh Binh Phu in the Vietnam and the fucking Indochina and the French. They get their ass kicked. They get their ass kicked, and then fucking you have what happens at the Suez Canal. I think that's in 58?
56.
56? With the British, where they get defeated. So they started to think, militarily, probably not. Do we want to keep having these conflicts? So what's the best way to, if they want independence, give them independence, but we'll set up the business arrangements where they benefit us, and we'll also catch them off guard, because right now a lot of them are colonialist. They're still for this. They've set up that evolved culture where everybody still is kind of fucking with colonialism, where the upper class is benefiting from it, and they're like, if we can catch those people setting those predatory, still colonial arrangements with an independent country, we don't have to spend the money on governing.
Development contracts. Yeah.
Yeah. If we can do all that, it'd be great. And that's what they did most of the country. I feel like the Congo just was was one of the later ones. And that's where it turned out. Because France did it all. You know what I mean? France did theirs, I think, in 58. And they only had one country, which was Guinea, and Sékou Touré say non. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I'd rather live free, and then be rich in slavery. But then he became a dictator. So they're just trying to catch you. Mm-hmm. It's like set it up right, and they did for the most part. A lot of places. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
And there's no happy ending for this one. Because the Congo's still fucked. You know what I mean?
It's still fucked. It's been fucked.
There's like, you look at the way it currently is now, like, how is the Congo not rich when like every cell phone in the world at the touchscreen, that to make that touchscreen work, the mineral, I'm pretty sure it has to come from the Congo.
Yeah.
Like, and how, what? Every touchscreen?
Why isn't that money inside of the Congo? It's got money all not? Of these resources, yet the profit from those resources is lining the pockets of the West.
And from my understanding, the way you get that mineral about the cell phone that makes the touchscreens, you get that particularly in the Eastern Congo, where there is still like those ethnic conflicts going on. And as we read about Lumumba, that's something they particularly were trying to exploit the ethnic conflicts.
Yeah, pit them against each other way they can't join themselves against us.
Yeah, man, it's a sad story, and it feels like do you want me to read
that would be cool.
And it's kind of a sad thing because we don't get to see that vision come true. Let me flip to it real quick.
Not yet. I like to hold on to hope. I like to think that still there's some way it could happen, but it would take more dynamic leaders like Lumumba.
Yeah. So when we're gonna read the letter that Lumumba wrote to his family when he was imprisoned, from my understanding, right before he was killed. And I'm gonna jump to the middle, because it's a pretty long letter, and middle to the end. So we are not alone. This is from Lumumba, written by Lumumba. We are not alone. Africa, Asia, and free and liberated people from every corner of the world will always be found at the side of the Congolese. They will not abandon the fight until the day comes when there are no more colonizers and mercenaries in our country. To my children, who I leave and whom perhaps I will see no more, I wish that they be told that the future of the Congo is beautiful, and that it expects from them, as it expects from each Congolese, to accomplish the sacred task of reconstruction of our independence and our sovereignty. For without dignity, there's no liberty. Without justice, there's no dignity. And without independence, there are no free men. No brutality, mistreatment, or torture has ever forced me to ask for grace. For I prefer to die with my head high, my faith steadfast, and my confidence profound in the destiny of my country, rather than to live in submission and scorn of sacred principles. History will one day have its say, but it will not be the history that Brussels, Paris, Washington, or the United Nations will teach, but that which they will teach in the countries emancipated from colonialism and its puppets. Africa will write its own history, and it will be to the north and to the south of the Sahara a history of glory and dignity. And it continues, do not weep for me, dear companion. I know that my country, which suffers so much, will know how to defend its independence and its liberty. Long live the Congo. Long live Africa. Patrice. So, yeah. Written to his family, written to his wife, but really supposed to be a letter to all of the Congo.
With the understanding it's gonna be spread farther than him.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to say anything.
No,
anything
we can't else. Say anything else. That's a great way to end it. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you learned a lot.
Next week,
what do we got?
Next week, we're looking at a quote-unquote non-aligned nation. We're going to be looking at India through the eyes of Indira Gandhi.
Okay.
And more fucked up shit.
Some fucked up shit. That's kind of the pattern on this thing.
Yep.
This one rocks.
Oh, boy.
All right, Henry, what's your social media?
You can find me, you can find the podcast first at Hard Fried History on Facebook, Hard Fried History on Instagram, HFH Podcast on Twitter. You can find me at Henry E. Price on Instagram, and then just Henry Price on Facebook. I did a corporate training video not that long ago.
Okay.
That's going to be...
I don't know why you're telling people unless they work for that corporation.
That's you know, get the views. I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
Man. Get the attention.
And you can find me, Joshua B. Stokes on Twitter and Joshua B. Stokes on Instagram and Joshua Stokes on Facebook. Guys, thank you for listening. We will see you next time. Mm-hmm. Stay safe out there. We love you. And that's been an episode of Law & Order Hard Fight History. No, it's not fun to end it after he died like that. Sorry,
no.
guys.
No.
it's not fun because that's not fun anymore. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
All right.